Welcome to The Sift Down, the podcast where you and I explore the art of superwoman. Today's episode is all about changing your life for the better and giving yourself effective tools to do so. Interests and passions change, and it's important to know when this has happened and to plan accordingly so that the next step is successful and fulfilling. So I'm always keen to hear what is on your mind, so please take a look at the contact info in the show notes and send through your own stories of pivoting in your career or taking the plunge to follow your dreams. I'll be sure to include them in our follow-up episode. This is The Sit Down with Olueto Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman. Most businesses know the invaluable impact of having and maintaining a brand. That same value is just as important as you as an individual. Today, we are unpacking how to successfully implement a career pivot, as well as how to successfully create a personal brand which will aid your career change in future. So I'm speaking to Vika Shipalana today, who is here to answer all our questions and more, because she's a branding expert who identifies herself as a luxury connoisseur. And before branching off to start her own business, Vika had a successful corporate career. Vika is the founder of VBS Luxury Group, and I know that there's many other ventures that you're getting into.
Oh gosh,
now
yes,
and
I
in
am.
Future.
Now I am.
And the company creates luxury experiences for businesses and individuals. Vika, thank you so much for joining me. And it's particularly such an honor to have you on the Sit Down, because you are one of the first people who I approached to not just be my mentor, but to be my sponsor in my own personal career and in my own personal journey.
This is true.
As myself, as all the way to the personal brand and a digital strategist.
Yeah, you were bold.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
It is my honor. You were in corporate before you started VBS. What made you want to pivot to start your own business?
I think what was happening was I was quickly discovering my power. Mm. And I was learning that clients ultimately trust the person. Mm. And I think once I'd reached a point where I had enough self-belief, I thought, well, I could probably do what I'm doing now, but do it for myself. Mm. I'd had a lot of conversations with myself around my future in corporate, and I think I needed more freedom. I needed more space to create. And so once I'd built up enough confidence to believe that I could do what I was doing by myself, then I was ready to take the leap of faith. Mm. And it is a leap of faith.
And how much mapping out does that take to be able to get to that point where you take that leap of faith?
Oh my gosh, it took me so many years. I think, in fact, I had two sabbaticals. One was in 2010. The other one, I think, was in 2015. Mm. So I'd had many moments where I thought, oh, I'm going on my own. Mm. But if I had to do the math, I would say it took me 7 years to finally go. Took that long. And in those years, I had a lot of people saying, oh, you keep talking about this and this. You keep talking about luxury. You keep talking about fashion. When are you going to do it? Until you can have that conversation with yourself and have that self-belief, you just can't go. So for me, it took long. It took 7 years, but I think it takes as long as it takes. Mm. There's no set timeline. I think you just need to be comfortable and confident that now is the time. Mm.
Mm. And how nervous were you to take the plunge, number one? Mm-hmm. And how did you prepare yourself as your own woman to be able to take that plunge and go in that direction?
First question.
Yes. How nervous were you?
I was extremely nervous. I think up until the actual day that I decided, I was still on the fence. The other thing to note, and maybe to give context to, is that I was at the top of my game at a job that I really loved.
At a young age.
At
a young age, if I may add, because it was very few black women who were, in their 30s, in the early side of their 30s, playing in those spaces.
I mean, so interestingly, I'd been with SAB Miller before Pernod Ricard for 12 years, doing sales, trade marketing, national trade marketing, brand marketing, and I thought that was it, right? Mm. And so when I was planning to leave SAB Miller, I thought, this is it, I'm going to go on my own.
Yeah.
The call came on the very day that I was going to resign from SAB to go and start my own business. Mm. And the call came from Pernod Ricard to say, hi, Vika, we're actually looking for the head of luxury. We've been looking for the last 8 months. We know you're not in the market. We've heard, you know, you've rejected us a million times because we've tried to reach you through different people, but we'd really love to chat.
Mm.
And it just so happened that that day I was open and I said, okay, what do you want to talk about? They're like, we've got this role, head of luxury. You'll be looking after South Africa, introducing prestige brands to high net worth individuals.
Mm.
I didn't even know such a role existed.
Mm.
But I just felt like, oh my gosh, you know what? This is probably the springboard I need before I do my own thing, to understand and to learn. What I didn't realize was that it would just be the best journey of my life and best time in corporate. It was 2 years. And I said to Pernod, guys, you only have me for 2 years. I said that in my interview. And the MD was like, oh, you're going to love it. You won't want,
to leave.
And I was like, nope, 2 years. Mm. That's it. And literally when I decided to leave, it was exactly 2 years.
Mm.
I was in Paris, it was Fashion Week, and I was having the time of my life.
Mm.
And I remember praying, I was looking in the mirror and I said, God, if I leave all of this right now, will you promise me that you'll give me 10 times better than this?
Mm.
And I just had this peace in my spirit where I felt God saying, yeah,
do it. I
got you. And that's how I left. So it was very, very, very difficult, but, you know, when it's time, it's time.
Mm.
And that's the bottom line. Yeah.
Sure. And the preparation internally that you had to do to take that leap?
Oh, my word. So what I will say is that I don't know that you can be 100% ready for such a move, but you almost need to decide. So for me, a lot of the preparation was spiritual because I was a girl who sometimes lacked faith.
Mm.
And so it wasn't so much, I guess I just needed to believe that God would be there.
Mm.
Financially, yeah, I think I prepped, but I don't think I had prepped enough.
I don't think anybody preps enough for entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So you can't say, oh my gosh, I've got all the money in the world, now I can go. So that side, I think you prep to a point, right? But I think it was the spiritual belief that I had to work in terms of my faith in God and his ability to carry me. And that took a while. And then, I guess then the day came and I was like, this is it. It's now or never.
And what are the most important things for someone to consider when they are career pivoting? So it might not be moving from corporate career into entrepreneurship, but I want to switch from a corporate career. You career pivoted when you moved from SAB into
Pernod
luxury. Yes. So what are things that one should consider when they are pivoting like that?
You know, for me, the whole inspiration around my, let's call it corporate journey, was I would always check in with myself. How am I doing? How am I feeling?
Mm.
Is this still the right way to go? So at SAB Miller, even then when I left, I had just come out of an incredible leading women program at Gibbs, and it was life changing.
Mm-hmm.
And SAB had invested so much in me up until that point. You know, I was being earmarked and groomed for all kinds of big positions. So to leave that was also like, what do you mean? Are you joking right now? We've just invested so much money in you. You've got your own personal coach. You've been to some of the best programs in the world and now you want to go. But I'd looked at the next steps and I was like, do I really want to be the marketing director for SAB Miller looking after all these beer brands? And I was like, no, if I'm being honest, The only thing I was enjoying was the global brands. And the next move after that, there was no other move.
Yes.
Unless I was willing to go abroad, which I wasn't.
Mm.
And so I got to a point where I was like, okay, let's be real. What's the next move? And then I thought, okay, the next move would be go on your own and pursue, you know, luxury.
Yeah.
Then Pernod came and I was like, okay, actually, this is a better move. It's safer. You get to learn a bit more before you take the move. And then with Pernod again, I looked and I said, shucks, if I were to stay a couple more years, who's going to leave their seat for me? What role are they doing? Do I want to do that role? And when I was being honest with myself, I said, you know, Vika, your family means so much to you. The next moves in your career are all board positions. They're very demanding. There's a lot of travel. And I already did my research in terms of, okay, for me, the next move would be, okay, let's say marketing director. From there, you need to go to an overseas market, run it for 2 years to come back and be MD.
Yes.
Are you willing to do all of those things? And so whichever way I looked, both within SAB and Pernod Ricard, there were no next moves that fitted the type of life that I envisaged for myself. Because I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to be a wife. But I still wanted to pursue luxury and create these amazing experiences for people.
Yes.
And there's also the point that, you know, if you're in a corporate role, there are other things that come with the job that you don't enjoy. And so I was starting to weigh up how much of my role am I enjoying versus the administrative travel, bureaucratic, blah, 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 that's happening. And for me, it was just like, no, this is it.
Yeah.
Do your own thing, carve your own path, and that'll be a better way. So you've got to do the research. And then once you've done that and you're honest with what you really want, and you almost need to visualize that for yourself, you know, map out actually what do I want. You might not have a name for it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But what do you want to see in your future? What does it look like? Where does your life fit in? Where does your family fit into that? And so it just became obvious that the next move needs to be curated by me for me.
Yes.
And so that's where I find myself now.
And you mentioned family being one of your most important most important things in your life. I'm a big believer in big rocks, small rocks, sand. So have your big rocks in life. These are your things you don't it's the absolutes. And then your smaller rocks are the other things that fill your life.
Yeah.
So your big rocks could be family, career, spirituality, health, and your small rocks can be job, work, projects, and then your sand can be all the other things. I love going out. I love having wine, so I enjoy wine and.
Yeah.
Your big rocks seem to be you've never wavered on your big rocks.
No.
What are your big rocks? Like, you've never wavered on your big rocks. And I think it's important, especially us as career women, but particularly, we need to be able to know our big rocks from a younger age.
Yeah.
So that we know as we grow, and you've been unwavering with your big rocks,
yeah.
So that we know that as we grow, these are the things that I'm not willing to compromise on because my overall happiness is then compromised.
Absolutely. I think sometimes I even write them on my Instagram profile. I God first. Without God, my whole world falls apart. And that includes my family, by the way. So for me, God at the center of my being, because that's where I find my, I could call it my base. You know, if I
foundation.
Know that that's foundation is solid, I've got a good relationship with God, we're in a good place, I feel like he's there, I can talk to him, that's number one.
Yes.
From there, it's my family, my husband, and then my children.
Yes.
In that order. So
because they wouldn't be there had he not been there.
Do you know what I mean? And it's easy to lose sight. Once you have kids, then the kids become priority.
Exactly.
And before you know it, you know, your marriage is going through some other stuff. So families, definitely second. And that's why there's been all the sabbaticals in between. Because whenever I felt that my family was under threat from whatever role I was doing, I would then leave that role to sort out family. So interestingly, when I left SAB Miller in 2010, that was my dream job. I was the regional marketing manager for a Goli region, biggest, most profitable region at SAB. It was 2010 World Cup. I had more money than,
any other.
And so much power and all of these great things. But my marriage was suffering so, so badly. I was hardly home. I was stressed. I was running around trying to please the MD and all the overseas visitors and. And I was pregnant with Jody. And so I just said, okay, this is it. Something's got to give. And I chose family. And I guess it's because also I always knew that, you know, with God, all things are possible. So I can drop this now, but chances are God will give me something greater.
Absolutely.
And the third rock is myself. You know, you've got to look after you.
At you. We're just saying before the podcast, like sexy model body goals.
So I always choose me. In fact, now I'm learning to even choose me before my family, you know, because you can't give what you don't have. So that self-love, you've got to fill your soul. You've got to fill yourself. You've got to be healthy. You've got to feel good. Then you can be mom, wife, businesswoman, all of these things. Absolutely. So those are the three big ones. And in that family one, I would also include our parents because I confide in my mom-in-law and my mom a lot. So within that family bracket, I would include them because they are my rocks, literally. Yes. Yeah,
that's beautiful. I love that. And I love that more and more women are basing their foundations on solid rocks, and never wavering when it comes to that. Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for VBS Luxury, right? We've done the work in corporate. We've done the work internally. Now, VBS Luxury is born, and you've been known for very specific things. Growing and elevating bespoke alcohol brands. Now, how do you take that and start curating luxurious experiences and associating yourself with those experiences that carry these brands through into them?
You know, so here's the thing about luxury, right? It's so big and so broad. It's I call it the art of living. It's a way of living, right? And what I was finding in my corporate role was that I was only focusing on the alcohol, right? But there are so many other passion points that high net worth individuals and affluent people have. And so I wanted something much more holistic. I wanted to, if there's a client, if it's Olwethu, and she says to me, yes, I love champagne, but I also love travel. And I love couture.
Yes.
I wanted to be able to create experiences that bring all those passion points to life, you know, and fulfill your wildest dreams almost. And so VBS Luxury was born because of a need to want to fully express, you know, how big luxury can be. I think sometimes the word is sort of just misused, etc. And so I had this big need to want to educate particularly women and men, but particularly women who were coming into big money and sometimes going, oh, Vika, I don't even know my style aesthetic. I've got all this money and I need to take a break. Where do I go? Oh, I've got this and I need to wear this with, you know. And so I was like, okay, this business, this consultancy will be a place where people can come and say, I have a little bit of money and this is the life I want to create. That's where we started. Where we find ourselves now is that I'm seeing that there's an even bigger responsibility that we have, not only to create these fantasies, but to also just create lives that are holistic. We have a responsibility. You know, Instagram has become the place where people just showcase their possessions. And that's not true luxury, actually. And so now what we're trying to do is showcase how to live. Irrespective of your income bracket, that's why I don't say high net worth anymore. We talk about a beautiful life. We talk about the art of living. So it's about, yes, there might be champagne in there. But how do you create a holistic experience that meets the needs of either your client or a particular individual?
Yes.
And that can be anything from travel to a private shopping experience to learning about champagnes and wines. So it really depends on which aspect of luxury they're interested in. And our job is to unpack that so that by the end of the experience, one, they educated about their passion point. So it's not just I'm buying, but I don't know what I'm buying. Yes. I have knowledge. And then there's a sense of responsibility around what am I consuming and why, and how does it impact the world and the community around me? So that we don't have this narrative of narcissism where it's like, look at me, look at my possessions, let the values, everything must align to the essence of who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now you've set off VBS Luxury and she's a beautiful baby. She's doing amazing things. And then what was the importance of the brand that you had built in being able as Viga Shipalan in being able to feed into the VBS Luxury? Because it is but a vessel until there's a persona into it and there's this personal brand that's feeding into it.
You know, I think this was probably the biggest conflict I had, because when I started getting into luxury, I did not believe that I was credible to, you know, what do they call it? Imposter syndrome. You're not good enough. You don't have money to be talking about luxury. Yep. Who are you? You know? And so the building of the personal brand was so important because I recognized that, one, I'm not a trust fund baby. I'm not a multi-billionaire. So to establish credibility, I've got to build my personal brand so that there's a level of believability. So the corporate backing was important for me, to be educated, to have corporate experience so that, you know, if you're talking to people at that level, they need to know that, you know, you can back this up. And then secondly, it was now the profiling of myself, which at first I was a little bit uncomfortable with, but I realized that it's the only way that people will understand what's in my head. And so I started to talk more, do a couple more interviews, articles, etc., so that I could sort of verse what this vision was and get people to buy in. And the way you live and what you're trying to sell, it's so important. Like people, if you want people to believe you, then the two need to talk to each other.
And once again, it's values aligning.
For me, it's critical. I know there are people who are able to separate those two lives and maybe for their parts that's adequate. But I think for mine and for what I was trying to do, Vika, the person and the leader and the woman and the needed to align to what we were trying to build with the business. And it's a work in progress. I'm not saying I'm there at all.
I feel like you're there.
But I'm constantly crafting and I'm very, very careful about where I show up and how I show up and what I say. And yes, it's natural, but it's considered. It's considered.
And how important was that and how then the self-branding plays out on social media? You know, because that's where we see each other optimally. We don't necessarily see each other out in the streets anymore in this day and age. People don't ask for appointments via to go see each other at coffee shops quite often now in this day and age. So how important that self-branding have to play out in how you translate it into social media platforms?
I mean, you know, guys, I'm no social media strategist, I must be honest. But for me, there's a balance that I always try and maintain, which is showcasing these leadership qualities and you know, qualifying the work that I do versus accessibility. So one of the big bugbears, if you want to call them, is that I'm trying to break down these walls in terms of, oh, if she's into luxury, you can't talk to her, you can't. So whatever I do on social media is always a balance between Vika, the mom, the wife, the friend, versus Vika, the entrepreneur, businesswoman, extraordinaire. And so my social media is a platform where I'm trying to say to people, listen, I'm just a normal person like you, but this is the work that I do.
Yes.
And when I showcase my work, yes, it will always be with a spirit of excellence and. Mm. But that's not to say that me as a person, I'm perfect, which is why I can post myself in my PJs with my hair.
But still looking fabulous.
Well, I mean, it's all relative. But I don't want the person to be so perfect.
Mm.
So when it comes to person, kids, husband, it always looks more normal. You know, we're playing in the beach, I'm wearing shorts, whatever. Mm. But whenever I showcase my work, that will always be perfect because that's sort of the excellence
coming through.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you then keep your life? And this is something that I guess would also apply to me. How are you finding that balance of having to keep your life as private as you want it to be, and still the entitlement to your brand, and you know the outsider's entitlement to your brand? Because people will feel entitled to your brand. People want to associate themselves and want to have a little bit of your brand. I want to know about your brand.
Yeah.
And, you know? So
I have a husband who...
That balance.
Who's an amazing guy.
Mm.
Right? He's solid. I'm the crazy rock star.
Yes.
he's very solid. And he always cautions me around how much access you give people into your life.
Mm.
And so sometimes, you know, he'll say, don't respond to everything that people ask you, right? Keep some things private.
Yeah.
So what I publicize are the things that I'm happy for people to ask me about.
Mm.
Whatever I'm not putting there, it means that I'm not comfortable to have those conversations. Mm. And so it's different for different people, but be careful to share too much because then people are like, well, you know, we can ask you anything
now and
so I just keep a nice safe distance so we can talk about certain things, you know, if you want to talk about mentorship, career, family life, God, spirituality, we can talk about those things, and I'm fairly open. But then once I say doors closed, the doors are closed.
That's why
I also, you know, I won't sponsor some of my posts. I won't go out of my way to get too many likes because everyone who's on that page, I mean, I don't know everyone, but most of the people, they kind of have a very intimate conversation with me, either on the comments or on the DMs. And it's things that I'm comfortable with. Fortunately for me, I have never had anyone ask me anything, you know, inappropriate or go too far. But I think that's because of the energy that I put out. So, you know, I always say that you teach people how they must treat you. And so for me, what I've received from social media is a level of respect, mutual respect, and openness that I can appreciate. But I don't want it to be a point where now I'm like, look, I'm getting dressed in the morning. Look at my undies. Look at my shoes. Look at me getting into my car. No, it's not necessary. So only the things that matter.
Yeah. And that matter to your brand as well. You've never, like, I feel as though your brand transition has been so, your pivots and your transitions have been smooth because it was always aligned to, you thought of it, and you manifested things that you'd already wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you never had to really invest much into a brand reputation or like, huge amounts of money into PR and lifestyle coaching because you manifested your way through.
Yeah, I think it's because I mean, it's a good and a bad thing. I overthink everything. So by the time I'm making the move, trust me, I've like...
You already stepped in.
I have crippled myself thinking about it. I've gone to the ends of the earth and back questioning the move. So I overthink everything. I meditate a lot on things. I pray about everything. So yes, it's a good and a bad thing. I think the bad part is that you sometimes overthink things until you cripple yourself and you don't move.
Yeah.
So interestingly, I marvel at how people think I've done so well because the conversations I actually have with myself are terrible because I'm not anywhere near where I thought I should be by now. But I'm also learning to be kind to myself and trust the process. So the reason I haven't needed that reputational PR-y is because I take baby steps according to my standards anyway. They're baby steps.
But I feel like it's big steps that you perhaps feel like it's baby steps because there's minimal outside intervention.
Mm.
It's natural. Some of these things just come natural to you. And you step into things that, like you say, you meditate and you visualize and then you step into it without even realizing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's not discount grace, right? Like the grace of God to put you in certain situations, to protect you from certain things. Mm. It's all there.
Yes.
So I also don't discount the fact that like a lot of this is just God's grace.
Mm.
I will tell God, this is what I desire. This is what I want to do. And then I'm like scared to death. I'm like, I don't even know what to do.
Yes.
And then it's just when the peace comes to say, yeah, go for it. I've got you. And then I'll move.
Just step,
you know, and I take those baby steps. And interestingly, now there's some giant leaps I need to take and I'm terrified out of my mind again, you know, so it will be different for different people. But the reason I don't need so much of the PR and the is because I'm very cognizant of just like overnight becoming big and famous and how that would impact my equilibrium.
Yeah.
So I'm always taking considered steps. Mm. But the vision is there.
Yes.
That's the main thing.
Yes.
Like, have you got a vision? Where are you trying to go?
Mm.
So that every move that you make is aligned. If it's not aligned, then you're in risky territory.
Mm.
And I've had to question some of the choices I've made, you know, some of the friendships and relationships I've made along the way. And I always go back to the question, like, what are you trying to do?
Mm.
Okay, I'm trying to build this luxury conglomerate. Okay. Are we going to do it at against all odds?
Mm.
No. Okay, so what are your values and principles? What will you not do?
Yes.
Okay, I will not do this. I will not do that. Okay, so what does that leave you with?
Mm.
Oh, gosh, it leaves me with the long road. Mm. Great. Let's take the next step. Step one. Mine is a long, long journey because I don't want the shortcuts. I think you pay too much for those. But if you take one step at a time, then...
You're on the right route.
Yeah.
You're on the right route. So... That all said, how do you measure your results? It's a tough one.
Okay, I'll give you the theory first. Every year, I do a vision board.
Mm.
From the vision board, I do a set of goals.
Mm.
I write them down. I put them on a board in my prayer room, and then I check them out, right? So how do you measure success? How well have you done versus the stuff that you said you would do?
Mm.
That is sort of the theory of it.
Mm.
Yeah. What I actually do is I do that and then I say, okay, which did I hit and which did I not hit and why?
Mm.
And then I exercise kindness for the ones that I wasn't able to hit. And then I check... The biggest thing I check within myself is how am I feeling?
Mm.
Like, do I feel good about the year that's passed? About the decisions I made? The way I treated people? Their interactions I had? Because I think I'm learning more and more that this isn't just about achieving targets and goals. And it's also just how I live my life.
Yeah.
And how I'm actually defining luxury now is being able to live a very beautiful life.
Mm.
And so my metrics and my KPIs have changed to be more around how am I in the world as a person, as a friend, as a mother, as a spiritual being.
Mm.
And if I'm doing well there and then I so happen to not have hit my 15 million turnover mark, you know, by whatever fraction, it's fine.
Mm.
It's fine. It's really fine. So I've just decided that there's certain things that weigh more than others. But if you want to put it in practical terms, do your vision board.
Mm.
Visualize everything. Go mad. Go, you know, dream big. And then say, okay, of these big dreams, which ones relate to the next 10 years? Write that out.
Mm.
What can I do in this year?
Mm.
And honestly, guys, if you're writing more than five goals, I worry. You don't want to be able to achieve more than that. But, you know, that's my rule. So then I write out my 3 to 5 goals for this year. Some are personal, some are business. And then you track against those. The bad thing that I do is I never track until the end of the year. And then I go, oh, I'm tired. But then usually most of the time I've hit, you know, a large percentage of those. And then I check how. The how is so important. And I learned this when I was still in corporate at SAB. It's not just about the what, it's also the how. So you can hit your goals, but you've bulldozed your way and you've, you know, corrupted the system and that's not the way. So you also got to check your how. And I must say, one of the things I'm very proud of up until now is my how. Just how I'm conducting my life, how I'm conducting business, how I'm living out my life. And so the things that I don't hit in terms of numbers and it's all fine. I've got another year. You know, God will give me long life. I'll be fine.
And lastly, last. Can you give us a roundup of how, as a young African woman, we can live luxurious lives?
Ah, my favorite thing. I think,
in our context,
you've got to be authentic. You know, you've got to be real and true to yourself. The hardest thing for young women in 2020 to do is to do them. Do you? Yeah. So there's so much pressure to look at whoever, influencer or celebrity or rich person or whatever, and try and emulate and But I can tell you now, and I've learned this from listening to a lot of incredible people, including Oprah, the magic in all of this is to live life according to your own terms. So you've got to assess, what do I like? What makes me happy? What gives me fulfillment? And if you can curate or create your life around those things that bring you beauty, joy, fulfillment, well-being, that is about as luxurious as it gets. It is not about how many cars you can buy, how many Louis bags you have, how many. No, if you buy Louis Vuitton because genuinely that's what you like and it goes with whatever you want to wear, I mean, it doesn't always have to be a worthy reason. Sometimes you just like stuff and it's pretty, and that's fine. But do it because you like it. You know, travel to that place because you want to explore that place. Buy that bag because that's what you want to do. Go on that spiritual wellness retreat because that's what you want to do. One of the things I love in my life is I love a cup of tea. And I love
like
tea.
You're having one just now?
Like I'm having now. Like, that gives me so much fulfillment. Yeah? And then from there, I love spending time with my kids and my husband. And I love curating these little spaces within my house that just give me... And it's
like your bathroom
things.
Is like a chill spot.
You can stay there.
Because guys, bathroom guys in our house is a chill spot with like the most expensive magazines and like expensive and candles and books and a coffee table. But it's, I promise it's you, just divine. Need champagne and I can chill there the whole day.
It's your sanctuary. So build your sanctuary. Build that. You don't need gazillions. Anyway, that's not my narrative. Maybe for other people it is, but certainly what I'm trying to educate and share with the world is you can create a beautiful life with what you have. And once you have that beauty in your life, in yourself, you attract more. It's like, you know, abundance attracts more abundance, and so you'll go from one level of glory and wealth to another. But it's about creating beauty within the space you're in now. And a lot of people don't think about that. They're just running around, you know, I got to catch this job. I got to catch this. And it's a lot of striving. And it's part of the reason why you can't attract the things that you desire. Because, you know, the whole environment is just so tense. So start
always wanting more.
So start with creating, you know, your own personal sanctuary. Your own beautiful life within your means.
And I've realized it starts with small things like take your workspace at home and just
make it inspiring.
Put some candles, clear up the clutter.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. I I mean, my team knows I can't work in uninspiring spaces. Guys, my brain just gets clogged up.
Yes.
I need the space to be inspiring. Mm. Then I can work.
You can work.
And yeah. so I do that. You know, if I feel like my house is not inspiring today, I'll go to a nearby restaurant or whatever place that gives me inspiration. And I find it in everyday things. Mm. And so the big stuff, yeah. We all want the big stuff. I still want my Rolls Royce. Mm. But whilst we wait for that, we create
moments,
beauty.
And pockets of beauty.
That's it. Mm. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much. This is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited to share Uvika Shipalana with everyone on the sit down. I hope you guys loved this episode. And do give us your feedback. And maybe one day we'll have Uvika come give us a crash course on luxury exclusively. Thank you so much, Vika.
Thank you. Truly appreciate it.
Thank
you. This was amazing. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Personal branding resources. Here is a list of some of my favorite personal branding resources that you can use in your life to craft the life and career you want. Number one, Canva, which is a fantastic graphic design website that anybody can use. No level of expertise is needed whatsoever. You use this for creating the marketing and branding collateral, as well as branded stationery and even developing your own logo. How amazing. I use this every day, every single day. Number two, Thinkific.com. This is an amazing resource that takes you through a step-by-step process of identifying who you are, what your message is, and how to make your brand profitable. Number three, here's one I quite like a lot, and it's a quick 12-minute read. Gary Vaynerchuk's 9 Strategies for Personal Branding in 2019 is on his website, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary, V-A-Y-N-E-R, Chuck as in Chuck Bass, .com. The article might have been written in 2019, I think, but it's still so relevant. You've been listening to The Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.